98 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Thousands of mourners continue filing past the casket of Pope Francis, lying in state at St. Peter's Basilica.
The basilica was set to close at midnight, but the Vatican allowing an extension, some had waited 6 hours.
Because of the respect that I have for him and the great person he was, it's worth the wait.
Some Catholic, some not, many of them praising his compassion.
Walking in there, it was so silent, but you could feel how much people really cared about him and how much love there was for this man.
For those unable to make the pilgrimage to Rome, masses are being held around the world.
ABC's Lana Moise, 50,000 people have now passed through in Rome. Russia striking the capital of Ukraine overnight, killing 9, wounding 70 others in Kyiv. President Trump angry. Ukraine said no to a proposed peace deal that would deny Ukraine NATO membership and allow Russia to keep the territory it's taken so far. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is looking for public feedback on a proposal to use a specific herbicide and pesticide under special permits. The proposal would include granting conditional approval for the special pesticide registrations of Lorax DF and Stinger HL to manage pest issues with carrots and strawberries when already federally registered options fail. The proposal would allow the use of the herbicide and pesticide through 2029. Public comments on the proposal will be accepted until April 29th. The Wisconsin State Senate voted nearly unanimously to pass a bill expanding Medicaid coverage for postpartum mothers on Tuesday. Under current law, pregnant Wisconsinites can receive 60 days of Medicaid coverage if they have an annual income of up to 306% of the federal poverty line. Wisconsin is one of only two states that has not extended that coverage to a full year. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has refused to bring up similar bills for an assembly vote in the past, despite bipartisan support, calling it an expansion of welfare. A Comstock man has been sentenced to prison in connection to a police chase in Barron County. According to court documents, 41-year-old Zachary Sexton was charged with attempting to flee an officer in March. He entered into a deal pleading guilty to the charge, with previously filed charges of possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia being dismissed. He also allegedly told officers he fled because he had a warrant out for his arrest on the drug charges at the time. Sexton was sentenced to 1 year in prison and 3 years of extended supervision. Washburn County is looking to improve its child services by hiring a child welfare case manager or social worker. The position would be part of the Family Services Unit with the Department of Health and Human Services. County officials say whichever position is hired will provide services for families experiencing child abuse and neglect issues, delinquency, and foster care. Qualified applicants must have a bachelor's degree in social work or a related field and a Wisconsin social work certification. Applications will be accepted until May 2nd. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The draft is here. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the NFL draft gets underway tonight. Thousands of fans from all around arriving. Network broadcasts. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst on the Rich Eisen Show says with the 23rd pick overall tonight, expect the unexpected.
It's one of those things, I think, and it's so unpredictable, but I do think it's a good draft class, and I think certainly where we're picking, I think there's going to be a really good player that's going to help our football team, and I think we're really focused on making sure we've got a good young team. We're really excited about it, and we're really excited to add, you know, not only a really good player, but a culture guy as well.
Baseball, the Brewers losing last night to the Giants 4-2. Concern for catcher William Contreras, who was injured sliding into third base in the sixth inning.
We'll check him out. We'll see what it is. He had like a issue with his side. We're hoping it's nothing more serious than it just, you know, locked up on him a little bit. So we hope it's nothing more serious.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with some rain by this afternoon. Our high today in the mid-50s with wind northeast at 5 to 15. More rain tonight, quarter to a half inch or more likely by the time it all ends tomorrow morning. Our low 45 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with afternoon clearing, high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone or just taking a deep, calming breath to ground yourself. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, April 24th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app, watching us on Facebook or YouTube, listening later by podcast, we are very glad to have you here to get this Thursday underway. I got a question for you. Is it feeling a little drafty in here? See what I did there? It's NFL draft day. And it's thank you. I'll be here for 3 hours. Greg, they said 3 hours. They gave us three again. What did we do wrong yesterday? They said you will do 3 hours again and again the next day. So I guess good job out of you.
Well, I mean, hey man, the show is called Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, so it's 3 hours of Pat.
Oh. I got you, babe. You're coming along for the ride.
Until 8.
yes. And then you get set for Matt and Aaron Air, which That's is right. now at 9 to 11. How did that work out on day one?
It was really fun. You know, we had a good time. We had a great show. We had great discussions. I mean, spoke to Rick Reed, who's an economics professor. Really, I mean, we looked at it as like Econ 101. Like, hey, let's all do a basic lesson in economics so we can all get on the same page. And yeah, good talk.
Basic economics. That's great. That there's no room for that here. Alicia says it's hectic here in Green Bay.
It's also hectic in here in Greg Bach. There we are.
Yes, but there's no draft in there. Well, maybe a little bit. The NFL draft is tonight. I can't promise that I'll be watching it, but I know it's a big deal for a lot of folks all the time. It's a huge deal for the city. And It'll be nice. The one thing we haven't talked about, actually, with the NFL draft in Green Bay is who's Green Bay going to draft? I have no idea. I don't follow it well enough to know.
Football player.
Yes. The one thing I know is that one of the top picks is this guy who plays both offense and defense, and he insists he wants to be a two-way player in the NFL as well. So whatever team drafts him, will they let him do that, be both, what is it, a wide receiver and a cornerback or something like that? And, you know, you want to reward him for his athleticism, but you also don't want him to, like, you know, crack his fibula in the first preseason game or something.
Yeah, I just feel like when you do that, you're also, like, whatever timeline you have in the game, in the sport.
Yeah.
You're drastically shortening it by playing both sides or both ways.
Yes. And that's sports talk for today. Hope you all enjoyed that. Coming up on the program otherwise, back to the thing we do know, and that's news. Once again, recent events offer us a study in contrasts. On one side, public officials, Democrats in the legislature, are introducing a bill to give women back the reproductive rights that have been taken from them over the past couple of years. While on the other side, we have Republicans pretending to investigate the UW system for embracing diversity. There's a Wisconsin military commander being disciplined. She was the commander when someone turned around a photo of President Trump on the wall. And so she's getting disciplined for it. We have in a president, one who has destroyed so much of his own government that the FDA says it can no longer do regular safety inspections of milk. I'm going to read that again. The FDA can no longer do regular safety inspections of milk because they've had to fire so many people at the Food and Drug Administration. We'll also talk about Ben Wickler's departure as chair of the state Democratic Party because it means not only a change at the top, but throughout the Wisconsin Democratic Party organization. And we're going to talk to Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski about the role that she would like to play as a new chapter of leadership opens up for Wisconsin Democrats. We're going to get an update from Chad Holmes on the efforts by the mayor of Wausau to replace members of the local ethics board with political friends amidst the board looking into his conduct for removing an absentee ballot drop box against legal advice. In our 8 o'clock hour, we will get reaction to the incendiary comments made about people with autism by Robert Kennedy Jr., the United States Health and Human Services Secretary. I know, I still can't get used to saying that either. It might actually be easier to catalog what he hasn't gotten wrong in his remarks about autism and the neurodivergent community. Joe Sopecki will be along to help us review the week's political headlines and give us an update on his run for state Democratic Party chair. Speaking of which, we talked to William Garcia yesterday, one of the candidates for chair, and I've put that interview up on the Up North News YouTube channel. And tomorrow, we will talk to the third candidate so far in the race, Devin Remicker. Devin Remicker is the current executive director of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, and now he would like to be party chair. So we've got all three current candidates for state chair of the Democratic Party coming up this week, and then we'll follow that for the next, almost 2 months before the Democratic convention in Wisconsin Dells in mid-June. Along the way, of course, you can always join the show a couple of different ways. You can give us a phone call at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also do that through the Civic Media app where you can listen to this fine program. You can call in. You can text as well. And if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can put something in the comment section there. Let's see. Adam says, heading up to Green Bay later this morning, staying in Appleton and taking the Fox Valley charter bus to the draft. And yes, that is a reminder that all, again, they're saying at least 200,000 people will be around. Not all spectators, obviously people working the draft, people from all the teams and everything, but a whole bunch of spectators and fans who are going to be staying all over the place and coming into Green Bay for what appears to be a rainy night. Cue Eddie Rabbit. But a lot of folks will not love a rainy night tonight, but that's how it works. Brittany Merlot says, another low pressure is on our back doorstep, ready to soak us tonight. Hanging on to a little warmth today, and we do dry out over the weekend. The state forecast for today, mostly cloudy with some spotty showers in the morning. Highs around 60 up north, 70 in southern Wisconsin. Northeast winds becoming easterly at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And then for tonight, rain becoming widespread, lows in the low to mid 40s, a northeast wind at about 10 miles an hour. Alicia says, we've got some early morning activity at some of my customers today as they get ready to head for the draft as well. And let me say this much about the rain. From what I saw the last time I saw a weather map, this is a big old system. So, I mean, it looks like maybe a dozen different NFL cities are all getting rain today. So it's not like this, it's not like a little black rain cloud and, you know, Green Bay just has a bad case of luck. almost any place this draft would have been tonight is going to get rain in some way, shape, or form from this big system that's sitting over basically the eastern two-thirds of the country right now. So it's, you know, it's just bad timing. My apologies if it glitched on you. But speaking of fun, Greg Bach has some news about fun.
You went all robot-y right there. It's like,
Greg has news about fun.
Oh, boy.
At least one funny place. Oh, there you go. You tell us all about the Laughing Tap, young man.
Okay. All right. You got glitchy again there. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
So last night we made the announcement at our open mic. We posted it all over our social medias. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by going to Facebook, Instagram. We're not on Twitter anymore because and Blue Sky Laughing Tap. That's all. That's the same handle. Or go to our website, laughingtap.com. We are going to be at the end of, no, I'm sorry, in the mid of June. June 13th and 14th will be our last weekend of shows. We are going to close that location down because we are going to be looking for a new home to expand and become bigger. Even though if you've been at the Laughing Tap, you know it's a giant building. It's untenable as far as building out. So in order to grow, we have to find something smaller to get bigger. So more news to come. We're currently looking at a few locations. We're hoping for a fall reopening, grand reopening, and I will give more information as I know. But for right now, that is if you live in the area, or if you're like, hey, I want to get down the Laughing Tap, you've got a few more weeks, about 6 or 7 more weeks. We're gonna have great shows coming up, and then one final big hurrah weekend, the 13th and 14th of June, Friday and Saturday, where it's going to be a very special dedication to like why we opened the place in the first go around.
Somewhere out there is an HGTV camera crew looking for their next assignment. And if you don't have something happening with House Hunters,
yeah,
let's do a twist on this. Comedy Club Hunters with Greg Bach. As Greg and his partners go from place to place and talk about the pluses and minuses of this as a comedy club.
Yeah.
They'll see them do little practice improv bits on little makeshift stages and buildings all throughout Milwaukee just to find the right home for them. And then pick it, and then we come back 6 months later and you get the everything is so great. Can you tell I've watched House Hunters?
I can tell here? Man, oh my goodness. Executive produced and funded by Mr. Pat Kreitlow.
Right. No, but then somebody has to be, whenever they have these couples, there's always like one of them is kind of the good one going, oh, I love this and I love that, and the other's like, oh, I don't know about this, I don't think this is gonna work. You know, they're like, I want for a house, I want 4,000 square feet and my budget is $85,000.
Yeah, right. Cool, we found this shack.
Yep, I'd let you live there, but a bear is hibernating in it right now. Yeah. San Francisco beat the Milwaukee Brewers last night 4-2. Freddie Peralta pitched 5 good innings, but the Giants broke through in the 6th, and the Brewers could only muster 2 runs in the 9th before falling short again 4-2. The final, they wrap up that 4-game series this afternoon, a little West Coast matinee, which means that coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network will start at 2:10 this afternoon on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Then the team heads right from San Francisco to St. Louis for a 3-game series that will get started right away tomorrow night. As you already know, the Milwaukee Bucks, they are down 0-2 in their playoff series against the Indiana Pacers. Game 3 will be in Milwaukee tomorrow, and that game will be on NBA TV. Hey, the NFL draft is certainly mentioned in today's daily newsletter from Up North News. So be sure to check that out. And also, where did I put my little note here on it? I don't have the newsletter note in front of me, so I will tell you that on our website is an Earth Day op-ed, Earth Day earlier this week, from Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who recognizes not only that it's Earth Day this week, but the year of the kid, as declared by Governor Tony Evers. And so she makes note that you take care of kids, you take care of the next generation when you take care of our environment. Also, in honor of draft day, the sprucing up of Green Bay includes a brand new mural on Lombardi Avenue. So you get a look at that as well. All right, let's pause here from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Wisconsin's volunteers are transforming our communities every day through their acts of service. Wondering how you can give back? Find the perfect volunteer opportunities at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center. On volunteerwisconsin.org, you can filter opportunities by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more to find your best fit. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
See, Cassandra writes on YouTube, our hospital is trying to be overstaffed to prepare for the NFL draft. I just hope people will make good decisions and be safe. I hope so too, Cassandra, but I also know some folks have made a cottage industry out of listening to the police scanner on game days at Lambeau Field. So the decisions aren't always the best, shall we say?
Yeah.
But I'm glad you are preparing for it because that is the right thing to do. 6 a.m. temperatures across the state. Didn't mention those earlier. Look like this at the bus stop. It's 47 here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward is down to 29 this morning. What's up with that, kids? Hamery is at 42. Wausau, 47. It's 51 in Rapids, 54 in La Crosse, 51 in Green Bay. Madison's at 55, and Milwaukee is at 58 degrees. Hey, happy 5th anniversary to the soundbite that I'm about to play for you here. 5 years ago, we were in the throes of early COVID. Weren't sure what to do, willing to try lots of different things. And that's fine. But what we wanted at the very top, what we wanted from our leadership was a calm voice, rational, respectful of science. And instead, 5 years ago today, we got this.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to ask Bill a question that probably some of you are thinking of if you're totally into that world, which I find to be very interesting. So, supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and
I'm going to sigh through this whole thing.
That hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or
yes,
in some other way,
Yeah, go on.
And yes. I think you said you're going to test that, too. Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting. Oh. Right, and then I see the disinfectant.
Oh, no.
Where it knocks it out in a minute.
Don't say it.
And is there a way we can do something like that?
No.
By injection inside or almost a cleaning, because you see the lungs and it does a tremendous number of the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use.
It would be interesting to check that. Thank you, Donald. 5 years ago today. That's what we had for leadership. And poor Deborah Burke sitting over there on the side going, I don't know. You know, which even she regrets now. But I mean, nobody wants to upstage the president. But how does nobody go up to the podium and go, no, sir, that's a stupid idea.
Injecting disinfectant.
Lysol had to put out a disclaimer 5 years ago today saying, please don't do that, people.
Sir, here's
and Ron Johnson's like, hold my Lysol. I'm going to try this. And he's still talking about it. He's still talking to this day, Ron Johnson is, about, you know, trashing the vaccines and why didn't we use horse dewormer. And so 5 years, a lot of people are seeing, looking back more clearly at the pandemic. Others, not so much.
Did you know that at one point I went to Farm and Fleet and where they sold ivermectin, you had to show them a picture of you and your horse to get it. They wouldn't sell it to you unless you had a picture of you and your horse. And I'm like, well, that's easy. Horse people have millions of pictures of them with their horses. But, yeah, I mean, that's just the – he says it so calmly,
too. I'm trying to imagine Ron Johnson trying to Photoshop himself with a horse here or something.
Ooh.
Anyway, some of the more current headlines. The commander at Fort McCoy has been disciplined, has been suspended, all because – a photo, a portrait of Donald Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had been flipped around to face a wall. Colonel Sheila Baez Ramirez has been suspended, at least temporarily, as the base's garrison commander. A statement from the Army said it was not related to any misconduct, but it was likely in reaction to photos posted on Twitter/X. Of, you know, you've seen this in schools, military bases, anywhere, on a brick wall someplace, or all these 8x10, you know, framed portraits of people. In this case, it would be the president, the secretary of defense, other commanders, and all that. Somebody flipped around the photos of Trump and Hegseth so that they faced, you know, the brick wall. You just saw the back of it. Okay, haha, very funny. But no, we're going to go ahead and suspend the base commander for that. And I don't know. There have been so many women in high offices who have been suspended or fired. Same with, you know, people of color in high places. And something just doesn't seem right about all of that. Meanwhile, in the legislature, the Joint Legislative Audit Committee had a quote-unquote investigation into DEI this week. And I do put it in quotes because, again, there's nothing there, but that's not going to stop certain politicians from making an issue out of it. The most recent example being State Senator Eric Wimberger from Oconto, who talked about the audit committee looking into this. And he said, today's hearing puts a spotlight on the millions of taxpayer dollars spent to support Governor Evers' unconstitutional orders. The government should not be allowed to divide Wisconsinites based on their immutable characteristics and then give or withhold benefits from them. We will continue to hold agencies accountable for their wasteful spending and end state-sponsored discrimination masquerading as equity. Which is exactly the thing that you would say if you were looking to perpetuate generations of essentially white privilege or institutional racism, whatever you want to call it. The efforts to say, hey, why don't we take a look at the biases in the systems, not so much the people maybe sometimes, but the systems, and try to make things better. Try to lead to, you know, equality of opportunity, not outcomes. Opportunity. But of course, Republicans have found a very convenient boogeyman that helps them appeal to a largely white audience that sees a grievance in almost everything that comes up that does not allow them to maintain the positions of power and control that they've had. So this audit committee is looking into DEI. Meanwhile, Democrats yesterday introduced a bill that would remove the current restrictions on abortion and give women back the reproductive health rights that have been taken away from them over the years. We're going to listen back to Melissa Baldoff talking about climate check coming up next, live from America's Up North on Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Breeding animals the correct way is very important within the agriculture industry. But there have been some issues that are arising. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and I had the chance to talk with Temple Grandin, a staple in U.S. agriculture, to hear about some of these issues that she is seeing within the breeding of animals.
The problem we've got now is we're breeding cattle with things wrong with them. Crossed toes, crooked toes, congestive heart failure problems. There's some cattle, they're crippled heart patient. And it's just over genetic selection for very rapid growth, big ribeyes. And there are certain genetic lines of cattle that have got a problem with this. And so one of my big concerns is breeding animals that have things wrong with them, like breeding bulldogs that can't breathe. I have a problem with that. Breeding racehorses, so much of a speed that the bones just break. Animals need to be functional, whether it's a pet or a food animal.
Grandin says that another issue that she is seeing is the lack of math skills in the next generation. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those markets right after this.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at those markets. Cash corn is moving a penny higher at 4.73, with new crop corn up a quarter of a penny at 4.54¾. Cash soybeans are seeing a rise up 6¼ cents at 10.46½, with new crop soybeans up 3½ at 10.31. May wheat contracts are down 3 cents at 5.25¼, with July wheat down 3½ cents at 5.40. Class 3 milk contracts are moving lower as May contracts are down 10 cents at 18.55 a hundredweight and June contracts down 9 cents at 17.36 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with some rain by this afternoon. Our high today in the mid-50s with wind northeast at 5 to 15. More rain tonight, quarter to a half inch or more likely by the time it all ends tomorrow morning. Our low 45 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with afternoon clearing, high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
We are joined now by Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, it's great to see you here.
It is great to be here. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Now, by and large, we talk about climate issues. It's a, you know, an area of focus for you professionally, but you have a very well-rounded career as a political strategist, as a staff member. You worked in Governor Evers' office for a time as well. So we get to expand the conversation a little bit more. So when we do turn to climate, we're going to talk about green schools in Wisconsin and a new way to recognize them, thanks to cuts from the Trump administration. But before we get to that and any other climate issues, I want to come back to your work with Governor Evers and the fact that he put out some guidance about what should happen in the workplace if there is some kind of a, you know, an immigration raid from ICE, so that people know what their rights are. And that is getting some angry pushback from Republicans who say that the governor is trying to somehow circumvent, you know, ICE and law and order. And I have to say, from what I know of the memo's comments and from what you know of the governor, he doesn't really strike me as somebody that's giving, shall we say, extra legal advice.
I would just say this, that, you know, we're in this situation where, you know, Republicans are not looking to follow the law. They seem to have decided that innocent until proven guilty doesn't matter, doesn't mean a thing anymore. They are, you know, just completely ignoring the Constitution left and right, especially when it comes to immigration. You know, we're seeing the just devastating effects of that, you know, examples all the time here. So it makes all the sense in the world that anybody who is, you know, leading a large workforce, is the executive of a large workforce like Governor Evers is, we have a large and, you know, wonderful workforce of state employees. And, you know, any responsible employer is going to want to make sure that their employees are safe and feel secure at work so they can do their jobs and have the guidance that they need to exercise their rights. And, you know, whether the Trump administration wants to accept it or not, people do have rights. And we have seen that ICE agents, you know, operating under the Trump administration policies, you know, are not always, you know, operating in ways that are, you know, conducive to people exercising their rights. And they want people to be confused. They want people to be scared. And it is incredibly important that everybody knows what their rights are and how to exercise those rights safely and responsibly. So, you know, it's unfortunately not a surprise that Republicans are mad. I mean, if Republicans in Wisconsin are mad about something with, you know, the governor has done all the time, they will never not be mad about something.
Turning to a climate matter and again, making our public buildings greener and cleaner. There was a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction yesterday, and I really want to salute whoever was the writer on this, because there was no need to mince words coming from the Wisconsin DPI. taking a shot at the Trump administration right off the top, saying, following the elimination of the U.S. Department of Education Green Ribbon Schools program, Wisconsin has launched its own initiative through Green and Healthy Schools Wisconsin to spotlight schools that are leading the way in environmental stewardship. And the Environmental Stewardship and Sustainability Award is first going to West DePere High School and Mahone Middle School in Kenosha, all about reducing environmental impact and cost, support student and staff wellness, and advance environmental literacy through their school communities. Melissa, this is something that we've talked about consistently, is that in this age of Trump cutbacks, we could sit here and wring our hands. There could be a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth. But what we've done instead is say, well, the work has to be done locally, at the state level, the local level, that it's not all woe is me. We can all still show leadership in our own various circles.
Absolutely. And I think that we saw, you know, we saw that happen during the first Trump administration, and we're seeing that happen again now. And, you know, that's, you know, not that there are many bright spots here in this second term, but, you know, one of the silver linings is that we had a lot of, you know, subnational organizations, whether that's local government, state government, nonprofits, community organizations, really learn a lot in that first term. You know, what can they do at a more local level, and how can they continue to advance climate friendly policies that are smart and going to make a difference and move the needle. And, you know, it's not like that work stopped under the Biden administration. It just had a lot of support from the federal government back then, which was wonderful. But now they we're seeing that a lot of these organizations are very well equipped to continue making progress and move this work forward. So it's really wonderful to see it happening, and it's especially great to see it happening in our schools. And you know that it's a way that schools are, you know, able to save money and have cleaner, healthier classroom environments for kids to learn in, and, you know, educators and staff to work in. And it's something I think that's great too. Also, in the release that you were just talking about, they discussed a little bit more about Environmental Education Week in Wisconsin, which Superintendent Underley had announced. So I think that's really a great component of this too, is that we know that the kids are learning about the environment. They are much more aware of, you know, kind of how everything comes together, and, you know, how they can make their natural spaces cleaner and healthier, how we can move forward into, you know, a clean energy economy. And I think it's really wonderful to know that, you know, this is a priority for our kids too, in this state still. You know, they're still learning about science and climate and doing it in a way that is going to be interesting and exciting to them.
And one of the other things related to this with energy and delivering, you know, electricity to places is a topic that we'll cover in a future discussion here, because we've run out of time today for it. But there is a bill about building new power transmission lines in Wisconsin. And it's one of those unusual bills, Melissa, where it doesn't cut neatly between parties, that there are folks who support this particular bill about who gets first dibs at building new transition lines in the state versus whether it should be much more of a, you know, a national process. And so I'm just going to speak very generally in the minute we have left here, because we'll get into the specifics later. But it's almost refreshing sometimes when a bill comes up and it's not very cleanly Democratic or Republican, that you can actually talk about the merits of a bill and whether it passes or not. And I would imagine we'll get into that in a discussion real soon.
Yeah, I mean, who knew that legislatures could still do that? It's wonderful to see a robust debate on a piece of legislation. But I hope to see it come together in a way that is, you know, actually protecting our residents and, you know, keeping rates low and not just making this a, you know, giveaway to wealthy big corporations.
And that's the main thing here that we're watching here is, you know, how much of this is just about what companies build power lines versus who's looking out for the consumers, who's looking out for the environment as well as part of this process. Melissa Baldoff, this is going to be fun. Thanks for being along for the first edition. Have a great day. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
All right, and for folks who are asking, well, wait, we normally hear Joe Sopecki on Thursday mornings at 6:30. Yes, with some of the changes to the show, we've changed where some of our guests are heard. Joe Sopecki will be joining us at 8:30, and people say, well, wait, Joe's running for Democratic State Party chair. Is he still going to be on regularly? As far as I'm concerned, yes. But also the other candidates for state Democratic Party chair will be welcomed back here a couple of different times if they like between now and the convention. We had William Garcia on just yesterday. And tomorrow at about 8:30, we will talk to Devin Remiker. So while I consider Joe Sopecki a friend, I also know William Garcia and I know Devin Remiker, and all three of them are amazing people and would all be great leaders for Wisconsin Democrats. So I hope that people get a chance to hear all three of them frequently and then make the best decision they think they can for the future of the party for folks who are going to vote on this. Again, it's a small subset. We're talking about people who are members, Democratic Party members, who then actually sign up to be convention delegates and are willing to go to a hotel in Wisconsin Dells for a weekend in June to cast ballots on this. So it's not a lot of people who are the electorate here, but since a whole lot of folks, you know, identify as progressives here, it's good that you hear from all of them. So I hope that you continue to tune in. I did finally find my note on the newsletter for today that Christina Lorre wrote, and it was about the draft, but it also included this story. Who have been the best Green Bay Packer draft picks since 1967, Greg? We can't, you know, Christina basically takes out the 50s. I mean, that was such a golden period, you know, for the Packers that in the quote unquote modern era. And I'm just going to give you the list that I don't recall where she got this, what the criteria was, but I want your thoughts on this. There's four of them. One, two, three, four. Yes. Okay. I can count. And you tell me how this rates for you. Number four on the list, Aaron Rodgers, drafted in 2005. Number three on the list, Clay Matthews, drafted in 2009. Number two on the list, James Lofton, drafted in 1978. And the number one draft pick in terms of effectiveness or whatever you want to call it, Kabir Bajabiamila in 2000.
I remember him.
Yeah. How great was he?
Yeah. They were good stuff. I don't know. I know nothing about football, Pat. Like, it's... I was like, do we really have a player named Haha Clinton Dix? I mean, seriously.
Yes, right? And again, we got some good years out of these folks. And, you know, KGB, as he was known, was amazingly effective for a time there. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, obviously turned out to be a great draft. James Lofton, you can't possibly argue with that. I mean, just stellar. And, of course, Clay Matthews. You know,
oh, kind
of
I love Clay Matthews.
Bit of a legend in the making. And then there's A-Rod. Oh, boy.
I could talk a lot about that man because I feel like he is just a straight-up QVC bill of goods. Like, yes. I think that, but I do have excitement for this season because I feel like the energy and the coaching on the Packers, from what I've witnessed from being here and talking to you guys and Paul Noonan, J.R. Radcliffe, Dan Schumacher, I feel like they're ready to click with everyone's getting like in their comfort zones, being here for a couple seasons and getting to know each other. I think the Packers have something special coming down the road.
Hope so. Tony says on YouTube, I hope Gutekunst realizes he is allowed to draft a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah, that was the other thing I heard, too, is that we don't draft wide receivers.
Yeah, so maybe this is the time. Back with more after this, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat White.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Cinco de Mayo is near, and the celebration starts at Total Wine & More. your cocktail central. Whether you're shaking up fresh margaritas, sipping on a crisp cerveza, or savoring a smooth tequila, Total Wine is your fiesta celebration destination. So stop by your local Total Wine & More and make this Cinco de Mayo the best one yet. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Voting proof of citizenship efforts are afoot in Michigan, while voters await the outcome of the Federal SAVE Act and a Trump executive order requiring similar restrictions. This despite no evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in Michigan or anywhere else in the U.S. In Michigan, a constitutional amendment which failed to achieve a two-thirds majority in the legislature just received the go-ahead to collect signatures for a citizen ballot initiative instead. If organizers meet the signature requirements, it could appear on the 2026 ballot. The Michigan proposal requires any new registering voters to show, quote, a birth certificate, passport, and/or other documents, and would eliminate the use of sworn affidavits for voters without approved IDs. Voters without citizenship documents could cast a provisional ballot, but must return with the documents within 6 days for it to count. While that may keep the 20, that's 2-0, alleged Michigan non-citizens from voting, 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to citizenship documents, and over 5.8 million Michigan citizens don't own a U.S. passport, according to the Center for American Progress. On the national proof of citizenship front, a federal circuit court ruling on President Donald Trump's March 25th order is expected April 24th, and the SAVE Act is in the U.S. Senate, but unlikely to overcome the filibuster. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is one of those songs where a good part of the audience goes, maybe Barbara Streisand? I don't know. And another chunk of the audience goes, oh, it's Barbara Streisand.
My mom is a huge Barbara Streisand fan, and she will tell you, I've loved Barbara Streisand since she was Barbara Joan.
Yes, yes. Barbara Streisand is 83 years old today, the pride of Brooklyn. If you're not a Barbara Streisand fan... maybe you're just not your generation.
Yeah.
How about this? 52 gold albums.
Dang.
31 platinum albums. 11 number one albums. That's still a record. 15 soundtrack albums. 118 singles released. 5 of them went to number one. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
Interestingly, when you talk about women with big voices and big talent. On Barbara Streisand's 40th birthday, a baby girl was born in Fort Worth, Texas. That makes her 43 years old today, and that would be Kelly Clarkson.
This song is good.
Mm-hmm.
This independent, this self-sufficient.
The thing I want to say about Kelly Clarkson is that she's had this reputation for years of being a bit of a diva in the studio and not always easy to work with. So I got to ask, I don't watch much of her TV show that she's had the past couple of years, yeah. But what little I've seen, I'm like, okay, either she's really good at faking it on TV, or she actually is, you know, a nice person and got a bad rap and just cares about her craft when she's making the records. I don't know which one is true.
I mean, no. The thing is that, let's just face it, Pat, when sorry to our haters, I'm about to go all woke on you. When men are in the studio and really toiling over their art and their music, they're seen as creative geniuses, who perfectionists who want to make the best thing. When women give a rip and like fight for their art and advocate for their voice, they're difficult. That's how it works. So Kelly Clarkson, yeah, just so difficult because she wants to do well.
Tony notes that, you know, just an amazing singer. And yeah, I mean, yeah. I just heard her and Ariana Grande, another example of, they have these great voices on their own, but then they can do any other genre. They can impersonate other singers, pitch perfect.
Ariana Grande's impressions are disturbingly good. And she's really so naturally funny, it makes me mad.
Yes. So, you know, so some people actually get where they are based on talent. Yeah. Who knew? The number one song this week in 1961 was by Del Shannon. You know, people are trying to hit those notes just now, singing into the airbrush. There's Del Shannon and Runaway Again from 1961. On this day in 1968, Louis Armstrong had the number one song in the UK.
What a wonderful world.
This is maybe the best slow dancing song ever.
And yet, very few people in the U.S. heard it in 1968. It stalled on the charts at number 116 because the then president of ABC Records didn't like the song and he refused to promote it. So nobody really heard it until 1988 when it was in the movie Good Morning Vietnam.
What?
And then peaked at number 32 on the charts 20 years after its release. Keep in mind, we're talking about a song that Rolling Stone ranked number 171 on the 500 best songs of all time. So Larry Newton, then president of ABC Records, you can eat that.
Good job, Pat. This story just goes to show that America is not always the tastemaker in art.
No. Cassandra puts on YouTube, "This was my father-daughter dance at my wedding." Aww. "With my uncle that helped raise me." That's awesome.
Love that.
Let's go to 1979, where Ray Charles's "Georgia on My Mind" had been around for a while, but he sang it on this day because of a special ceremony where it was named the official state song of that key state.
Georgia. Georgia.
Something also very important to know about this story is that this song became the state song, and this was a state that had banned him from playing there because of advocating and standing up for yourself.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, time heals, but the scars remain. Cedric the Entertainer is 61 today. Cedric Kyles.
Love
and them. On this day in 1989, Tom Petty's first album as a solo artist, Full Moon Fever, was released with singles that included Free Fallin', I Won't Back Down, and this.
What a great intro.
I know.
It just gets you, like, put it on your car when you're in the drive. I'm just going to drive down the road.
And it's one of those where you hear it and you go, how has nobody done this one before? Of all the intros, you know, as people are playing with guitars. But, yeah, did it right. Very short day on the National Day calendar. This is National Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. So every fourth Thursday is that day where you go, oh, God, Todd's gonna bring in his kid again. So
hello, Mason. Hi. Hello. I can't see you either.
tell the kids to behave. And it's Pigs in a Blanket Day.
Oh.
Those are hot dogs wrapped in crescent rolls or other pastry.
Have you ever went to a party where they're like, I always feel like they were the most common hors d'oeuvre, like pigs in the blanket. Yes. But yeah. I go to parties and they're never there.
No. Chad Holmes is coming up next. We'll also be talking to Sarah Godlewski. We'll be talking about RFK's offensive autism comments, Joe Sapecki and Brittany Merlot, as we always do, mornings, up north, and live on the Civic Media Radio Network. No sunshine.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the large-scale overnight attack on Kyiv was one of the most outrageous yet by Russia. At least 9 people were killed in the capital, more than 70 hurt in drone and missile strikes. The attack coming after President Trump lashed out at Zelensky for rejecting a U.S. proposed peace deal that would have Ukraine giving up the Crimean Peninsula, which Russia has held since 2014. 50,000 mourners filing past the Pope lying in state at St. Peter's Basilica ahead of Saturday's funeral. In southern New Jersey, wildfire continues to burn.
This is still very much an active firefight, according to officials. There were more than 1,300 structures that were threatened. So far, officials say just one large storage building for a business has been destroyed. But they're going to continue fighting this until they get some soaking rainfall, and they are not expecting that today. They're hoping for it late Friday, maybe heading into the weekend.
ABC's Trevor Ault. Air quality alerts in place for New York City because of the fires. This is ABC News.